Welcome to the Sunday Monday Show, a podcast about being bold in faith, work, and life. I'm your host, Jane Kennedy. Let's get down to business. Hello and welcome to the Sunday Monday Show and our very special series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Over the next 9 weeks, I will be sharing 9 episodes with you on individual fruit of the Holy Spirit, which include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. For each of these fruit, I reached out to a friend who I feel like lives this fruit beautifully in their life, and we had a conversation about it. We talked about the fruit of that Holy Spirit. We talked about the challenges. We talked about living this in a world where it can be so hard to live these virtues. And we also talked about living it in our particular state of life. So some of these friends are married. Some of them have young kids. Some of them are single. Many of them work in some way. And I'm just so excited to share their stories with you because truly I have been so inspired by these conversations. I think they're some of the best we've ever had on the Sunday Monday Show, and I cannot wait to share them with you. So without any further ado, welcome to our Fruit of the Spirit series, and let's get started. Claire, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you for saying yes.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really exciting to get to speak with you again. You just moved back to California for the summer, and so we miss you dearly in New York. So I'm happy we're able to connect.
I know. I was so excited to see your face on my screen. I was like, Claire, like my little taste of New York.
You'll come back and visit.
I will. I'll be back more than you all care to, more than you all want. Awesome. So I'm so excited to have you here to talk about our another fruit in our Fruits of the Spirit series, which is faithfulness. I think you embody this so beautifully. But before we jump into that, I would love if you could just briefly introduce yourself for our listeners.
Okay. My name is Claire Dwyer, and I live in New York City, specifically in the Bronx, and I am an instructional specialist at Bria Network Schools. So I work with the math and science curriculum and instruction of our elementary schools, helping support the teachers and the students however I can. And I've been in the city for 4 years now. I started out as a missionary with Seton Teaching Fellows.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, it's been so cool to get to know you over the past couple of years and just see the ways that you've used your gifts and the opportunities God's provided you with to just be such a light in New York, which I think, you know, we all know it's so hard. It's like a hard place to be, and it's a hard place to be a light. And especially when we talk about like faithfulness, right? So initially you did have a specific kind of like edict to be a faith formation sort of teacher, right? At this school. And then you moved into other roles, but I think you've always kind of carried that sort of openness and courage about your faith, like everywhere we go. I mean, just no matter the outlet, no matter the place, whether it's a dinner or a Broadway show or whatever, like you were always so bold in your faith. And I would just love to hear like, maybe like where you think that comes from and, how you've been able to steward that gift in your life.
Well, thank you for saying that, Jane. That means a lot. Yeah. The reason that I'm in New York and specifically in the Bronx is because of the mission of Seton Education Partners, and also just the mission that the Lord has asked me to do in my life, which is to serve those in need, specifically through education. How have I fostered this idea of faithfulness? Well, first of all, I'm really humbled that you thought of me as for this virtue. I know I have a lot of work to do in this, and I'm every day I strive to be more faithful. But as I was reflecting on this, like, what is faithfulness and how does one live it in their lives? Something that was coming to mind was a story that I heard, and I might share a few other stories in this podcast, and I can never remember the saint. I can never remember the date or the country or anything, but, so all my stories are quite vague, but this story is about a priest, and he, ran a parish, and at his parish, he had daily mass and daily adoration. And one day this priest became a saint. Again, I don't know which saint, but he became a saint. And there's a story that he tells about this man who would come to adoration every single day. And he would sit in the back of the chapel and just pray all day. And this priest was amazed by this man's faithfulness to show up every single day. And so one day he asked the man, and he said, what do you pray about all day long, every single day? And the man said, nothing. He says, I just look at the Lord and the Lord looks at me, and that's enough. And I think that is faithfulness. When one has the courage to open their heart up, to receive the gaze of the Lord and the love of the Lord. And then also hopefully in some way, return that gaze to and look back at the Lord. So that's how I would define, that's how I would define it. And how I think I choose it is, brings me to kind of another story that I think about, which is, it was in a country where Christians were being persecuted. I don't remember the country, and I know this happens sadly all the time, but this story is actually from a few centuries ago. And when these persecutions were happening, the soldiers were destroying churches and killing priests. And one of the priests they imprisoned, and they put him in a cell right across from his church, and they destroyed the church, and they knocked the tabernacle over, and the Eucharist went all over. And so the priest would spend every day in adoration of the Eucharist that was on the floor. And he noticed every night there was this little girl, and she would come, she would sneak past the guards in the middle of the night, and she would receive one of the she would receive the Eucharist and then go away and come back the next day. And she did this for 27 days until the last day when she received the last Eucharist, she accidentally tripped over something and woke a guard, and they killed her. And so again, these are two examples of faithfulness that I think back on: the man in the back of the church who gazed upon the Lord, and then the little girl who had this great conviction to give back to the Lord what he had given her. That was kind of long-winded in a lot of stories, but that's what I think of when I think of faithfulness.
I think it's so good because, well, you can tell you're a teacher, right? Because you know how to speak in beautiful stories. But I think that's what happens with our hearts, is like stories captivate us and they give us a framework for like what to do, right? Mm-hmm. And they're also good. It's so good to have those as pillars of your faith, because I think even yesterday I was in a church down here. I'm in Santa Barbara right now, and I was in this church, and I've really recently felt very pursued by the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it's been this like beautiful kind of few months of just feeling like this deep draw to this devotion. So I pray these prayers to the Sacred Heart of Jesus every day. And I went into this church yesterday, and it was Jesus, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, this beautiful statue. Mm-hmm. So I like marched over to it. I whipped my phone out, right, with my prayers. I'm like, oh my gosh, perfect. I'll do my prayers in front of this. And I looked up at this statue, and like the way that the eyes of Jesus in the statue had been, I guess, painted, they're looking directly down at you as you're kneeling there. And I just like, it just stopped me in my tracks. And I just stared into the eyes of this beautiful statue. And I just like put my phone back in my bag, and I just mm-hmm. sat there, because I was like, I fall into this trap so frequently of like, okay, the routine is that I pray my rosary, and then I pray these prayers. And I, you know, if I'm doing a novena, you do the novena prayers, and like, it can become so rote. And I love that, you know, story of that man just receiving the love of Jesus, because I think that, you know, as productive people, we want to do something and be like, look, I earned this. Like, I earned your approval today. And we also want to receive something. And it feels kind of like, if I go into prayer and I don't receive something, then what was the point? And I think that's actually where faithfulness gets tricky and where people struggle, right? People who have a beautiful, vibrant faith life experience a season of dryness where they do go to prayer. I've had this. I mean, maybe you have, where you start going to prayer and you're like, what happened? Like, it used to feel so beautiful, and now I'm feeling super uninspired, super disconnected, and discouraged because I'm not getting that experience. And I think it's in those moments that the faithfulness really is tested, because it's like, well, were you coming to prayer because you know that it's like the Lord deserves our praise, or were you coming to prayer so that you could like feel warm and fuzzy? And I think that it's so beautiful to hear those stories, especially stories of sacrifice, right? Like massive sacrifice. How often do we receive the Eucharist without even recognizing, you know, I mean, hopefully we recognize who it is, but without really recognizing the gravity of how blessed we are to be able to receive every single day if we want to. So thank you for sharing those stories. I think that even without very specific details, they were incredibly effective and really beautiful.
Yeah. And I really liked what you shared too about looking into the eyes of the Lord in that statue and the gaze. Cause the love that he has for us, it's, we as humans it's incomprehensible. We'll like never understand. And like you said, we want to like return it back in some way or like, you know, but like, it doesn't matter. It's like, if I go to church every single day and I pray the rosary, or I'm, you know, the world's biggest sinner, the Lord loves me all the same. Mm-hmm. Like what I give the Lord is so little compared to what he wants to give me back. And of course, we should try, and he gives us the grace to try and love him back. But really, I think he just wants us to like, he wants me to like, let him love me and let him like, look at me. And I think that every single day showing up and just letting the Lord look at me and love me is faith. It's founded in this just relationship with the Lord.
And it's so simple, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's where we get so tripped up, is thinking often about like, okay, how can I be childlike? You know, like how can I be childlike in my faith? And it's that simplicity of just allowing him to love us. And I think that sometimes when I walk into like a holy hour with a stack of books, which is my, you know, temptation of like, well, what if I get bored? I better like have some activities to do, like a child with a coloring book at mass. I'm like, I need to have an activity. I've found that the most beautiful prayer I typically have is when I actually stop moving and like just look and give myself the time to sit there and let him love me. And yeah, I do feel like a child sometimes, like trampling through a garden, like picking little flowers out, like, Jesus, here you go. Like, do you want these? he's like, I just want you to sit here with me. Like, I just want to love you. And I think that we, because our world is so transactional, like it's very hard to see that relationship as it is, right? And it's such a relationship of gift, which is so good. And I would love to hear like kind of if you've experienced kind of different seasons of faithfulness in your life and what that's looked like. Like, do you think you've always kind of had this depth of like, okay, I can just sit here and let him love me and love him back. And like, that is more than enough. Like, or do you like, I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey to that place.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, definitely. Definitely a constant journey. And it's kind of like the stock market. It's like one day it's like, we're doing really good. And one day it's like, oh my goodness, what has happened? And hopefully overall it's this upward growth and development, but not always. So I had my reversion to the Catholic faith when I was in college. And since then when I was a freshman in college, and my life really did take a pretty 180. I was very doing whatever I wanted to do and kind of locking the Lord out of my life. I envision like him kind of being at the door of my heart, like knocking, wanting to be invited in, and me just doing what I want to do, not allowing him to love me. And so, of course, that caused great sadness and hurt in my life. But through that, through the Lord allowing that to happen, it caused me to go back to him in the sacraments and go to confession and return to daily mass. And so I think that great shift, it was almost like I felt I didn't have anybody in my life that loved me. And then I realized that the Lord had this love for me, and it made it so easy for me to just go to him every single day and receive this love. Mm-hmm. And at first, when I had my reversion, I call it like spiritual candy. Like I would go to mass and adoration, and it felt so good. Like I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so consoled right now. And the Lord does that. He gifted me with that so that I would want to continue to come back to him and build this habit and grow in the virtue of faithfulness. And then, And then I would say he kind of continued that for like 2.5 years. And then my senior year, I moved back home to student teach. And so I didn't have my community. I didn't have the Newman Center anymore where I was going to church. And and that was really hard. And I felt really alone. And I felt like I was literally dragging myself to daily mass or like dragging myself to adoration. I wasn't receiving the spiritual candy anymore. And I know that the Lord was using that time to deepen my faith. He pulled back from the candy, as any good father will, to teach me that he loves me even if I'm not constantly feeling like this, I don't know, like, you know, overflowing joy and like going to daily mass. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say those have been two like drastically different seasons that I remember in my prayer life.
Yeah. Well, I think it is that hard season of like busyness and slowness. And I do think community plays a huge part in it, right? Yeah. Like I think that when you are surrounded by people who are pursuing Jesus, it ignites something in you where you're like, wow, there's so much to do here. And I felt that way too in New York, where it was like, there was this beautiful like Dominican Latin mass on Saturday mornings that I, you know, would often see you at. And there were, you know, adoration everywhere and Catholic Underground. And like, there is a depth of community there. And coming home like this past month was really interesting for me because it became then my responsibility of like, I'm going to daily mass by myself. Like me and all the old people who like walk over to me and they're like, who are you? And why are you here? And like, they're not saying it meanly. They're just very confused. They're like, you're kind of not what's here usually. And then like going to adoration by myself. Right. And like, it's been really beautiful because I've had the time to like step into those things, but there is a loneliness that comes from that of like, oh, like I miss seeing my friends after church and I miss having like a Bible study and like a, you know, a group of people to just talk through these things. And again, like praise God for FaceTime and phone calls and opportunities like this to talk to you and get filled back up. But I think that that's such a huge challenge in faithfulness is like when you are in a situation where you don't have those same kind of guardrails around you, or like guardrails sounds negative, but you know what I'm saying? Like you don't have the same built-in systems of like, oh, this is what I do and this is where I go and people will, you know, I don't know. I just think that community is a huge gift. And that's why, again, this is my story I tell that is vague and I can't remember the saints' names, but like saints totally grow in circles. You know, you have like friends, saints, right? Like St. Francis and St. Clair, and there's so many other friends, saints, but you see them grow together because like when you're mutually pushing one another to grow and like encouraging one another, especially in seasons of dryness, I feel like it's so necessary. And that's a gift, right? It's a gift from God to be like, stick with it. Keep going. You can do this. You know, he provides the graces we need.
For sure. I know I used to think when I was first coming to the faith, back to the faith many years ago, I thought I had to do everything on my own. And I thought if I didn't do it on my own, I wasn't strong enough and it wasn't like real. And I was, you know, weak. But I've come to learn that that God gives us community. He gives us other people so that they can encourage us when we are low or needing support. And same for us, that we can support others. And needing community doesn't make us weak. It makes us stronger.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just being aware of your own needs, right? And like, mm-hmm. I know I love people. And I, you know, in seasons of having to do it on my own, and I've had that. I remember I interned in DC in college and I would go to mass every morning before work. I'd go at like 8 a.m. Then I'd walk to work at 8:30. And I remember calling friends being like, I feel so like this isn't, of course, I was like, this isn't doing anything for me. Like I'm going by myself and then I go to work and I feel so detached. But it was like this act of, but I know that there are graces here that I don't maybe perceive. So I'm going to continue going to mass, even if I feel like, what's the point? And it is moments like that, right? Where, you know, it's just moments like that allow you to grow in faith. And now looking back, you can see the fruits, right? Like that's, I think a lot of the gift of life is like, you don't really see the fruits until you've walked through that season. You're like, oh wow, there was like a lot of goodness there. But I love that. Yeah. And you've talked a little bit about, you know, ways you've kind of dealt with like struggles in that. Anything else you would say if somebody's listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, like I am in that season of dryness. It is the dark night of the soul and it has not ended. Like, what do I do? You know, what sorts of practices maybe can help somebody get out of those moments or those funks?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's something that I think about often. I think one of the most important things to do is to return to the relationship, because faithfulness stems from the relationship that we have from the Lord. And so, and he is the perfect lover, the perfect companion, everything. And so if I know if I'm feeling far, it's on my end. The Lord is allowing this feeling for some reason, but I need to return to that relationship. Lean into the loneliness or the darkness, because that's what our Lord experienced. When he was on the cross, all of his friends left him. Everyone who followed him and loved him and welcomed him into their city 3 days earlier, now we're crucifying him. And so I know he felt lonely, and I know that was a dark time for him. And so maybe this opportunity is a time for the Lord to allow me to enter into that too. So return to the relationship. And then another thing, when I get into that funk of like lack of faithfulness, I often start to think a lot about myself, and I need to realize that it's not about me, to turn outside of myself, like kind of like what we were saying earlier. It doesn't matter if I am good or have faith, or like the Lord loves me not because I'm good, it's because he's good. So get out of myself. And that is helpful too. And then to zoom out, because I think kind of like what you were saying, in our life, we're so zoomed in on everything. I can only see like the 2 seconds in front of me. But the Lord has this great big picture of from, you know, before our moment of when we started to exist until we enter into the gates of heaven, and he can see so much more. So just to know that this moment of loneliness or darkness is just a moment, and he's most likely using it to call me closer and deeper to him and to his own suffering, and that to move outside of myself and to know it's not about me.
Oh yeah. It's that really frustrating paradox of like, if I look back, the darkest times in my prayer were the times that I fell so much more in love with Jesus. Like the hardest moments where I was like, I felt so lonely and felt like friendships and relationships were crumbling, and I was just so disappointed and heartbroken. It's like, those are the moments that I think, you know, you take steps in your faith every day, but I think those are the leaps of just like, and I was talking to a friend the other day who was saying, she was like, yeah, like I kind of miss this. She'd gone through this really difficult season a couple years ago. And she was like, there's parts of me that miss the intimacy I had with Jesus at that time, because I just clung to him and I needed him so badly. And so again, it's that thing of like, yes, I would prefer to not be feeling this way, but this intimacy I get with Jesus is a total gift. And so it's what you're saying. Like, he has this perspective and he knows like that these seasons and these valleys and moments bring us closer to him, allow him to love us more. And then when things are on the upswing again, we're like, we have that like closeness to him. And we know that, you know, whatever suffering, because life is full of suffering and disappointments and, you know, hard things. And like, to know that he'll be present in that is such a consolation, you know, whether or not you're feeling it warm and fuzzy or not.
Yeah. I was talking to, similarly, I was talking to this, very, very wise woman about, a cross that I had in my life at the time, and how I wanted it away, because I thought if it was gone, then I would could be more faithful or more kind or more
of
patient.
Of course, yeah, obviously.
And the point that she said was, she was like, the Lord has allowed that cross because without it, like, you will get too big, you will be too prideful. Like, you need to carry this cross so that you are constantly reminded of your reliance on the Lord. I just thought that was so beautiful. He gives us those things so that we have to depend on him. Mm-hmm.
And that we get to know him in different ways. Like I have had moments of just like really difficult struggles, and the amount of hours I've spent in the garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, in the agony of the garden has given me such a depth of relationship with him, right? Because I can enter into that with him. and just watch him like weeping tears of blood. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like you have this experience of humanity that I can relate to, because I think so often we just, thankfully as Catholics, we have the crucifix. I think that oftentimes like in other churches, I look around and I'm like, are we just forgetting that like, this is like a huge part of what he's done for us is the crucifix, all about the resurrection, but let's not forget the cross because we all have that. And it's honestly the most human part of Jesus that we can connect to, at least me. Yeah, I totally agree that there are moments of being like, okay, like I can carry this cross because you carried this cross and you're going to give me the graces I need to carry it well, and grow in faithfulness. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's faithfulness, exactly what you're just saying, like being the one at the foot of the cross, like being there for Jesus in this time of like great suffering and great loneliness. And what does it look like to be at the foot of the cross? Well, we can't answer that for other people. It has to come from the relationship, from the prayer. For me, what it looks like to be at the foot of the cross is to go to daily mass. I've had a conviction to do that for the past 7 years and to be at the foot of the cross for the Lord in that way. For other people, I know that to be at the foot of the cross means to pray the daily rosary, even when it's really hard and they don't want to. For others, I know to be at the foot of the cross means to volunteer. Every Saturday they give of their time and they're with Jesus that way. And so how we are faithful can only come through a relationship from the Lord, can only come through asking him, how can I console your heart today? How can I be with you in your suffering today? How can I let you look upon me today? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It brings me back to my favorite quote that I butcher every time from C.S. Lewis, which is how monotonously alike all the great tyrants of the world and how gloriously different the saints. Mm. And I think there's such this perception that like, as you grow closer to Jesus, you get more boring because you're like, I don't know, following rules. And, you know, I don't know. I just think that there's a huge temptation to feel like, oh, like I'm going to get boring when I become like, start going to mass every day or whatever. And it's like, no, every person becomes more and more gloriously themselves. And exactly what you're saying, every person's experience of the cross, experience of the mass and the rosary and the millions of devotions we have within the church. You know, I was talking about the Sacred Heart. I had no idea the depth of literature and devotion and beauty in this devotion. And I've been Catholic my whole life. And so, yeah, I love what you just said. I think it's so good. And kind of speaking of that, do you feel like there are any models in your life who you think live this really well? And are there ways that you kind of try to emulate them or kind of seek their wisdom through this?
Yeah, definitely Saint Mother Teresa. I feel like we've been talking about her. And when you said the dark night of the soul, she, Mother Teresa, went through 40 years of darkness, which when she was a religious, and then she kind of got this call from the Lord to start her own order, which was the Missionaries of Charity. And as soon as she began that work, she did not feel the Lord again. No consolation, no joy of Christ for 40 years. And I just finished her book actually like last week, Come Be My Light. Have you ever read it?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I would love to. Love it.
Yeah, it's really cool. The author, he's a priest. I think he's a brother missionary of charity priest. And he takes all of her letters and all of the letters that her spiritual directors writes back, and he puts them all in this book. And then he kind of narrates in between each letter to tell a story. And it's wild, like hearing Mother Teresa's writing. And she ends almost every letter with like, destroy this immediately. I don't want anybody else to know this. Luckily they didn't destroy it, because now we have this incredible book. But yeah, just her faithfulness of she would just say things like, I am the world's greatest sinner. And the Lord would tell her that. He would say, Mother Teresa, you are the world's greatest sinner. And that's why I have chosen you to do this mission. And by the end of her life, similar to what you were sharing, Jane, a few years into this darkness, she came to love the darkness because she realized that it was uniting her so closely to crucified Christ. So yeah, Mother Teresa is a huge person I look up to in regards to faithfulness. And I would recommend that book to anybody. Another person is the sisters who ran my Newman Center at college. One in particular, Sister Sylvia, I loved her so much. She taught me, she is the reason I am who I am today. I'm forever grateful for that woman. And one of the things I remember them teaching me is, which I failed at in college, but I learned a lesson from it, is they would give the students at our Newman Center like small tasks. And if we did them to faithfulness, to fidelity, then they would entrust us with greater things. So one of the small little tasks was you had to be in charge of everyone at the Newman Center's birthday. You had to know when their birthday was, and when it came up, you know, sing them happy birthday and get a card. And if you can do that, you were asked to do greater and greater things. And so I was given that task and I failed. I was like, I'm too busy to keep track of people's birthdays. I'm not doing that. Passing it off to somebody else. And it wasn't until later when Sister Sylvie and I chatted about it. And she said, yeah, that was a test of faithfulness. Can you be faithful in the little mundane things, right? Going to mass on a day you say you're going to go, keeping up your holy hour, praying the rosary, doing the volunteer that you signed up for. Can you keep faith in the little things? Because only then the Lord knows that you are ready to receive like the bigger things that he has for you.
Mm. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's this like temptation sometimes to be like, I'm going to do like these big, big things for Jesus. And I feel like it is Mother Teresa who often is quoted saying like, do small things with great love. Mm-hmm. And I often find that for me, it is harder to do the small things with great love than it is to do the big thing that's kind of flashy and like that someone's going to find out about, right? It's like those little things where like my daily rosary or something, like doing something in the hiddenness or doing something to help somebody that no one's ever going to know about, right? Like there's always a resistance to that because you're like, oh, like there's not really going to be an affirmation coming from this, but there always is, right? There's always kind of that increase of like grace and that joy that comes from being the hands and feet of Christ in someone's life or, you know, and praying the rosary. It's like so silly. It's like, you always experience the graces of that, but like, there's such like a, like, oh, this is going to take a while. Like, do I want to put my phone down and do this? And you always do. And you always feel better when you do. But, and I love that those sisters gave you that opportunity for faithfulness, because I think that, I was talking to someone last week, she wants to start kind of like a podcast newsletter sort of situation. And we were talking about it. And I was like, yeah, like it's really beautiful and it's so fun. But it also like, you have to be totally surrendered to what God wants to do with it. Because if you feel like God is calling you into this, he can call you out of it. And he also might have a plan for it that it's going to be really, really tiny, or it could be really big. You just don't know. And so there has to be such a dying to yourself and a dying to like your idea of like, this is going to be huge. And like, everyone's going to see this. You're like, well, maybe, but the Lord has that plan. And so like, can you be faithful in the little consistent things he's asking of you? And at least for the Sunday, Monday, for me, I feel like it's been more for me than for anyone else. Like I felt such like a joy from it and, connection from it. And so, yeah, I love that. I think that, you know, faithfulness is hard when you are hoping to like, you know, we all want those big glory moments, but you know, you typically, a lot of times we won't know those until we get to heaven, right? Like the ways in which like the things we did and our little faithfulness actually did make a difference. We just won't know.
Yeah. Yes, that's resonating with me a lot. The specifically what you're talking about with the hiddenness of what faithfulness is. And I almost feel like faithfulness is one of the like most secret virtues or like most hidden virtues. Cause I think it affects people the least. Kindness, you know, charity, mercy, all the virtues really are communal and affect other people. Mm-hmm. And faithfulness has so much to do with the very little simple things that one is doing to build the relationship with the Lord. And that's probably, I mean, we'll see that in other ways, but for the most part, like you said, no one's going to know if you pray your daily rosary, no one's going to know if you, choose to hit snooze on your alarm and don't go to daily mass. Faithfulness is a very hidden virtue, which makes it more beautiful.
I totally agree. Yeah. Oh, this is so good. Is there anything else you want to share or any other thoughts on faithfulness to close out with here?
Okay. I do have a few more thoughts on faithfulness. I think
Give them to us.
Well, I was thinking I want to add on a little bit to maybe like advice I might say if
yes.
someone who wants to like grow in faithfulness, things that have helped me. One is to ask for the grace. I can do absolutely nothing on my own, especially growing in virtue. We have to ask the Lord for that. And this can be so simple. It's just right now we can ask, you know, dear Lord, I really want to grow in the virtue of faithfulness. Dear Lord, I'm feeling far from you. I'm feeling unmotivated. Please help me to grow in faithfulness, to want to be with you and to commit to being with you. And then also what we were talking about, community, the importance of leaning on one another. And hey, it's really hard for me to pray the daily rosary. Jane, can we pray the rosary on Wednesdays together over the phone? Or, oh, I know my church prays the rosary before 8:30 mass. Okay, I'm going to go at 8 so I can pray with community. It's okay to not be able to do things on our own. We're not always supposed to. And then very practical things too, is just scheduling time can help. So in my Google Calendar, I put in daily mass so that I get a notification. And when I look at my schedule every day, I see it. I'm going to daily mass at 7 a.m. today. I'm going today at noon. One of the first things I put in when I'm looking ahead for the week, scheduling in time. And then another thing that has helped me grow in faithfulness, especially if my spiritual faithfulness is something that's difficult, is I look at other parts of my life where I'm being faithful. And if I increase that in a little way, it can help with my prayer as well. So for example, every day I wake up and I make my bed. That's something faithful to. And in that, in growing and like every day, you know, after I cook dinner, I wash all the dishes. Like in growing in faithfulness and in ways like that, it helps my spirituality grow in faithfulness too. Kind of like building this discipline. Mm-hmm. So those were some last thoughts I had. And then a very last thing is I think faithfulness and gratitude really go hand in hand. Do you see that too? Faithfulness and gratitude?
Yeah.
Hand in hand. Yeah. And that when we show up in faithfulness, it's just a way of saying thank you to the Lord. And there was in the catechism, in the UCAT, the youth catechism, there's a little quote on the side from a saint. Again, I don't know, but I just remember it said like,
someone's going to fact check this episode for us and give us all the information.
I hope so.
We've got the heart of the matter. We've got the heart of it.
And this quote, it just says like, if the only prayer you ever pray is thank you, that will be enough. And so I think, you know, every single day, the Lord, he wakes us up. He gives us breath. He gives us, you know, all of the things that he gives me. He gives me sight. He gives me the ability to speak, to be active, to work out, to do diligent in my work, all these things the Lord gives me. And all I have to do is just return to him and look at him and say, thank you. And that's faithfulness, I think.
Mm. I absolutely love that. I feel like, you know how you always kind of, you hear the same message over and over again for like a few days and you're like, okay, maybe it's time to do this. But over the last week, I've heard just again and again, this like reminder of the importance of praise, of like praising God. And I've been driving a lot because I've been, you know, all over California and just like the difference between I'm a big podcast girl, big audiobook girl. I turn on praise and worship. And like, there is something that I was like 4 hours into my drive down here. And I was like, you know what? I just need to stop all this like noise. And I just turned on praise. And it was like, as I was turning the corner, that like opened up the whole ocean. And I just found myself like crying because it was just like such an opening of myself to like, thank you, Jesus, for how you have loved me in the ways I very specifically needed to be loved and need to be loved. And like the gifts that you give me, and I think you're right. Like we get so zoomed in on our lives that we don't actually realize that everything in our life is so good and beautiful. And I was listening to something that was yesterday that was talking about how like, if you look at the Garden of Eden, right? Like Adam and Eve had everything. And then it was this one tree that they were told to not mess with, that became the fixation, right? And you're like, they had everything they could have ever dreamed of. They were living in paradise. And I mean, I'm not saying our lives are paradise all the time, but a lot of the time there's so much we take for granted and don't, or I take for granted and don't thank God for. And I love what you're saying is like, if faithfulness is hard, maybe it's because we're not taking the time to thank God for the things that we do have, which is often abundantly more than we could ever deserve. And I love that. I think that's such a great encouragement.
Yeah. Yeah. Faithfulness and gratitude. And I loved hearing what you said about this, praise, like how that's all the Lord really wants from us. It's just for us to simple say thank you and to praise him for all he's given us. And that can, do you know the story of, oh my goodness. It's the Bible when I think Mary is washing the feet of Jesus, but she like breaks the perfume bottle. Yep. And then she uses her hair. And how, who is it Judas? Who's like, why would you break that and waste all that money getting into that poor? And that what Mary does is like this essence of praise, of thanksgiving. It's like this time wasted, not really ever wasted, but wasted for the Lord, just to thank him and to give back to him. So like you, instead of listening to the podcast and listening to the audiobooks, like you're like wasting time, just like being with the Lord and thanking him for all he's done.
Mm-hmm. And for those listening, Claire is using air quotes around wasting because it's the truth though. But we feel that way sometimes of like even yesterday I had like somewhere to be and I was like, but I want to stop into this church and just pray for a little while. Mm-hmm. And there was part of me that was like, well, you're going to be late. Like you're supposed to be somewhere. Like, what are you doing? I was like, no, I like, I'm choosing to go see Jesus. And I don't think I will regret sitting here for 15 minutes. And I didn't, nobody cared. No one cared that I was a little late. Like, that wasting time, I think, especially in like a working context, especially in like a city like New York, or, you know, there's so many times in our lives where it's like, we don't create any buffer around our lives. So it's like, you're always feeling a little anxious about your time. And Jesus is never anxious about time. Like he just, he isn't. And he has always shown in my life, I'm sure in yours, like if you give him time, especially daily mass, right? That's a commitment. You have to get there. You have to be there and then you leave. And like, that's, you know, hours of your day. But he always multiplies our time and like gives us, it becomes like such a joyful decision, right? Of like, this is how I'm going to spend my time.
Yeah. And he always gives us so much more back and he doesn't have to, because he gives us so much already, but it's like, oh my goodness, I give him just a tiny little drop and he just like gives the ocean.
He does. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, Claire, I could talk to you forever. This has been so good. I can't believe it's taken this long to get you on this podcast. You're definitely coming back.
Thank you.
Okay. So as we close out, I like to just ask, is there anything that is working for you right now?
I love that question. Yeah, a few things actually.
Amazing.
Come Be My Light by St. Mother Teresa, that biography. And then also just like biographies by the saints. That has definitely been something that I've been reading a lot of and feeling very inspired by these incredibly holy people, and just learning about their lives and the love that they had for the Lord. Also, Ben Rector has been working for me. I just love him.
I love him. Yeah.
As before we got on this call for the podcast, I was, you know, preparing and reflecting and thinking. And then I was like, oh, I think I just need to listen to Ben Rector and just like dance for a second in the kitchen.
Yes. Always.
So that's how I prepared for this podcast. I was just kind of dancing in the kitchen to Ben Rector, but it was great. And then house plants have also been working. This idea, and they of course connect a lot to faithfulness, just this idea of every 2 weeks or whatever it is, I have to care for this living thing. And then it just adds a lot of beauty to the home. Mm-hmm. And finally, something that has been working for me as I prepare for this summer, I've been looking more into like modest swimwear companies. And so that's been exciting. Yeah. And one that I found that I really like is Honeymark.
So okay. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I'll go check it out.
I recommend. They're great. But those are some things that have been working for me lately. Thanks for asking, Jane.
I love that. Going off of the Saints books, I think that you're totally right. Like there is something so good about reading like Story of a Soul. Every time I pick it up, the first time I read it, I was like, I don't get this. Then after that, I was like, wow, it just opens your eyes to the way that like saints think. The other one, I don't know if you've read Mark Twain's Joan of Arc. Mm-mm. book. Okay. He called it the crowning jewel of his library. And he became obsessed with Joan of Arc. He spent 12 years at like near the end of his life researching her, spent 2 years in France studying her, and then wrote this like novelization kind of her life and the trials, and used the trials as like the kind of the background, the backdrop for the story. It is every single page of that book. I was like, holy crap. This woman is insane. And in a world where we're like, so just like trying to like, we're so working on like, how do we celebrate women? How do we like do these things? I was like, this 16-year-old girl got an entire army of men to stop getting drunk and being stupid and to like fight for France, like 16-year-old woman, consistently being just like pushed down and told she was like all these like really hurtful things about being a heretic and all these things. And anyway, every page of that book, I gasped. And it's a long book. It was just like, I was stopped in my tracks, and it just, it energized me in such a way of like, this is the life I want to live, of like such abandonment to God's will, because he can do with us these things we could never imagine. So I highly recommend it.
What is it called?
It's just Mark Twain, Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc. And it is a great read. Like, it's very captivating. Like, it's, you know, he's a great writer, but it's crazy good. It's crazy.
I'm going to order it as soon as
it's a perfect summer book. Like, it's a perfect summer book because yeah, it's just so good. You'll love it. And tell me what you think. We can talk about it.
I will.
Awesome. Well, Claire, thank you for doing this. I love you, and I'm so grateful for you. And that New York brought us together, and
I know.
Yeah, just like, it's just such a gift to see the Lord work in your life. And, you just continue to be so faithful and bold, and yeah. Thank you.
Jane, thank you so much for having me on here. You're an incredible woman, and I'm constantly inspired by you. So thank you. Thank you for engaging with me in this conversation. It's been a gift and a joy. And I have a lot to pray with after this. So thank you.
Oh, me too. Amazing. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Sunday Monday Show. If you liked it, if you enjoyed it, if you learned something, we would be so appreciative if you shared it with a friend. Shoot it in a text, post it on social media, whatever you want to do. Sharing these episodes helps more people find them. And while you're doing that, if you could rate and review these episodes, that would also be so appreciated. If you're looking for more, you can follow us on Instagram at thesundaymonday_, or visit us online at www.thesundaymonday.co, where we have tons of articles and free resources designed to help you be bold in your faith, work, and life. Until next time, thanks so much for being here. Get back to work. I love you all. Bye.